Greetings, golf fans. Sports guy Ty here. No winner winner fried perch dinner in Phoenix, but we came close with a pair of top six finishes in the desert. The PGA Tour shifts back to California for a final time before the Florida swing, and we're glad to be back at Riviera, where this podcast has tipped the winner of the Genesis Invitational each of the past two seasons. No Max Homa on either card, but two more opportunities for a team win at Tiger's tournament. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. Enjoy. Thank you, and welcome to the Genesis Invitational Preview Show, Tiger's Tournament. This is episode 69 of the Playing the Tips podcast, one more week on the beautiful grind. From Detroit Rock City, I am your host, Sports Guy Ty. You can find me on Twitter, at Sports Guy Ty. Joined, as always, by Shallow Cal, coming to you from Tree City, USA, Ann Arbor, Michigan. You can find him on the Twitters, at Shallow Cal Golf. Follow us as well at Playing Tips Pod, where we tweet out the weekly cards, give our profit and loss numbers, do anything else we need to do on the Twitters. Shallow Cal, what are you drinking tonight?
Nursing that that Super Bowl hangover. I ate way too much food last night, drank way too much beer, so I'm going light with it. Back on the Modelo.
Okay. Yeah. What was the drink of choice last night at the Super Bowl party?
Oh, man. I had a bunch of...
What wasn't the drink of choice, I guess?
Yeah, I actually... our friend had gotten a Casa Noble tequila, and then it was extra añejo, and he had ordered the añejo, so he got shipped, misshipped a big mistake by whoever sent it. And let me just say it was very tasty.
It's a nice mistake to have go in your favor.
Yeah.
Well, my problem was also more so the overeating yesterday. It was one of the worst food hangovers I've had in a long, long time.
It's incredible. You can't quite put it away like you used to be able to when you're younger, you know?
Oh, man. Well, I still try. That's really the issue.
Yeah.
But I'm on a light tip as well this week. Can't quit that pure Canadian water and prairie barley. Labatt Blue Light for me once again. All right, before Genesis talk, we've got some cleanup to do from Phoenix. Winners for you last week, Shallow Cal, at the WM Phoenix Open.
JT, 25-1, full place. Mr. Sungjae with the bogey on 18 on the final day to go in a tie place, split place, unfortunately. So that was pretty disappointing. I know you were on Sungjae as well, and you texted me, so that was kind of a kick in the nuts right there, Sungjae.
My goodness, that was a bummer on 18. I was also on JT 25-1, so collected the full place there, 1.5 points each way. And that putt on 18 that Sungjae missed, which now it had a little bit of meat to it. You know, it was a 14-15 footer, but certainly something, you know, when you're grinding for par to get solo six, you would think that somebody of Sungjae's caliber would have been able to knock that in.
Yeah. Scotty seemingly draining 15, 10 footers all day for par.
And you have to at Phoenix, yeah. Right? Like, that's the range. If you're not making those 10 to 15 footers every single time, you're losing ground on the field on those greens.
Yeah.
So that was a huge bummer because that took me from what would have been a pretty nice return on the card. That would have been, I believe, a full 19 units returned on a 13-unit card. So it would have been a nice positive week had he collected that place fully by himself. But as it was, he fell into, I believe it was a three-way chop for the place.
Three ways.
That pushed me to even with the returns on both JT and then the chop on Sungjae. So not good, not bad. Just live to fight another week, I guess.
Yeah, you know, any return is a good one, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Restock it for the next week. All right. Well, this is a memorable week each year for us, mostly because we started this podcast back then as Right Click Print Money, with both us and T-Mac tipping Max Homa 70-1 at the 2021 Genesis Invitational. Been all downhill since.
Yeah, I remember that Max Homa win, and that, you know, that one felt great because I feel like we propelled Max Homa to the heights that he has reached now. You know, I feel like I got a little bit of that win equity from him, just you know, propelling that Homa train to the next level.
Hard to believe that he was ranked 91st in the world when he won at the Riv in 2021. I mean, he's a completely different golfer today. He's one of the best golfers anywhere on planet Earth. And like you just kind of said right there, it was really a springboard win for him when he got this one in his own backyard. Had won previously on the PGA Tour, but this was a big win in terms of Max Homa becoming the golfer he is today.
Yeah, I think this really, I don't know, kind of kicked off. I guess it's what, been two years now. His ascension into, I would say, probably the top 20 in the world. If you're going to look at the top 20 golfers, I think Max Homa's right in that conversation near the back end.
Yeah, I mean, ranked 12th this week in the official world golf ranking, so he's squarely in that mix.
Yeah.
Tournament that was good to us the following year as well. T-Mac was actually on Joaquin Neiman last year at a pretty big number, if I do recall, somewhere in that like 50-55 to 1. He may have even caught a 60 on Waco last year.
Back to back 63s to open. Boy.
I mean, he ran away and hid from everybody. I mean, it was pretty much just a Sunday stroll for Joaquin Neiman last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty impressive. But again, been a good tournament for us. Everybody on Homa 2 years ago, T-Mac, a former co-host on Waco last year. So we've certainly done some good things here. Tiger's back. Biggest storyline of the week, certainly. Got a few other big ones, but that one is going to dominate headlines anytime Tiger is mentioned. You fired up to see the big cat at Riviera?
I mean, anytime he plays, you're always interested to see what he's going to look like. The fact that he can still go out there and, you know, I mean, he made the cut at the Masters, made the cut at the U.S. Open. Right? No. The British Open?
I think it was the British Open, yeah.
And then also made the cut at the PGA, but had to WD. You know, it's impressive that not playing professional golf consistently, that he can go out there and make a cut. Or, probably not compete and be up there. But you know, that's still pretty damn good going to make a professional golf tour cut.
It's incredible. He did miss the cut at the Open in 2022, made the cut at Masters. He was 47th and then had to withdraw from the PGA Championship. Yeah. That was the whole deal with Southern Hills and the weather delay and everything, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Yeah.
But pretty incredible that he's able to go out and do what he does. I mean, again, you know, finishing 47th in the Masters. And I think he's got his eyes on bigger and better this year. Now, I'm not saying that's 10 tournaments or a win or necessarily even being seriously in contention. But I think you're going to see Tiger play multiple majors again this year. I think you're going to see him add a few more regular tournaments like we're seeing this week with Genesis. And I think, again, pending the health and that leg and everything else holding up, you know, I think we're going to see the competitive juices get going a little bit again and maybe see a little bit more of Tiger even than we were anticipating at the beginning of the year.
You think that he's gonna make a top 10, top 5 this year? How do you say no, right?
I mean, I'm not ready to sit here on February 13th and say that he is going to make a top five or a top 10 this year. I think, again, more than anything for me, it's about the health and just seeing that he's physically capable of making it through a full four rounds of golf before I think we can talk anything about places and where he's going to finish. I mean, I'd have to see a pretty good number probably on Tiger to make the cut, to take that side of it, just because, again, there's so much unknown. Now, again, assuming everything goes right and he's healthy, I do think, again, this is going to get the competitive juices kind of flowing. It's going to burn within him, and we're going to start to see those results get incrementally better as the year goes on, as long as he can stay healthy.
Build that stamina up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll talk more about that a little bit as we get into the tips and what some of those numbers look like on Tiger. But one more quickly before we jump into Genesis and the Rivoli. Netflix is premiering Full Swing this week, February 15th. You excited?
Yeah. I'm actually hoping that they don't drop all of the episodes all at once, because I will, I will watch all of them consecutively. So I hope we get to space it out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm always in favor of that. I love to binge as much as anybody, but I need the restraint to come from somewhere else, truly, especially on a topic like this with golf and what appears to be all the access that Netflix has, which is going to be really, really fun, I think, for diehard golf fans and casual golf fans alike. I think they'll do a good job of telling the story and really picked a great year to do it, obviously, with the schism in professional golf, with LIV, and just the natural storylines that are going to emerge.
Absolutely. Have you seen any of their other ones? The racing, the Formula One?
Yeah, F1, that one's great.
I see. I haven't seen that one, so I'm kind of I don't want to watch any of the previous episodes of the Formula One or any of the 24/7 hockey stuff that's gone, because I kind of want to go into this not knowing what I'm getting into, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great way to go into it. I'm gonna have to talk about it next episode as well.
Yeah, well, I'm in, and if we can get some of these wives and girlfriends on there, I'm even more in for sure, because it's one of the best parts on Sundays, you know.
Yeah. My wife has agreed to watch the documentary with me, Full Swing. I told her that this will be a good kind of, peek behind the curtain at what it is we do and love so much and care and talk about every single week. So she's going in with an open mind. She's up for the docuseries.
Excellent.
All right. In terms of an agenda, as we do each week, we'll start with a tournament and course preview, talk stats to consider, and any weather of note on the West Coast. And then we will finish with tips and best bets for the week at Riviera. Shallow Cal, can you remind the people what we need from them?
Yes, if you could give us a follow on Twitter, download these episodes, please. That's what they count. Give us a like, a review, leave a comment. You can find the podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Leave the 5-star review. We'll read it online on the next episode. And give us a little feedback. What do you like? What do you don't like? And what kind of sauce is in your cup when you're listening to the podcast? If it's something other than coffee, we appreciate it, and we hope you enjoy.
Let's get after it. Little course and tournament preview. We are in Pacific Palisades, California, Los Angeles proper, home of the Riv. Riviera Country Club, Shallow Cal, hosts the Genesis Invitational, has done so every year since 1973. We've teased it for a couple weeks now, but this is really the time of year when golf gets fun. We get into that meat and potatoes portion of the schedule.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite events every year, because the draw. I mean, it's Tiger's tournament. Tiger says, hey, you want to come play? You say yes. So we always have a pretty strong field here, at least for the past several years. I love watching this course too. It is a very, very classic, classically styled golf course. It reminds me of a Michigan golf course, actually.
Is that so?
Yes, and I don't know how you feel about that, but the tight tree line, not necessarily, you know, we do have a lot of woods here in Michigan, but the undulation, a lot of uneven lies, you know, not necessarily the longest rough, but the trees are really what can get you and give you trouble.
Definitely. A lot of Donald Ross courses up around this part of the world where we are. And certainly that was kind of a hallmark. And one of his calling cards was those tight tree lined fairways, the classic old timey golf courses. So I like that. I'll buy that comp. Genesis Invitational started as the Los Angeles Open back in 1926. This is our first true invitational of 2023, though that term does take on a bit of a different meaning now that we have the elevated events, because certainly anybody who wanted to play Phoenix Open could not play Phoenix Open last week. There were a stronger set of criteria, guidelines to get in, a different approach to the alternates, things of that nature because of that change to the elevated status. So although invitational in name, there is actually an expanded field for the Genesis Invitational this year. 134 initially invited, again, with that new elevated or whatever you want to call it, status with the PGA Tour. But at last count, an even 130 after withdrawals from Maverick McNealy, Webb Simpson, Chris Kirk, and Davis Riley. Alternates will not be called unless the number falls below 120, which ain't happening because, as you mentioned, Shadow Cal, this is Tiger's tournament. And if you didn't make it in through one of the other ways, you got a call from Tiger. Well, you're certainly going to be here and play.
And he's playing this year. So that's like even more reason.
Absolutely. How much fun is it going to be to see who gets paired with Tiger Woods on day one?
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling I know one of the people who will get paired with Tiger 100%.
Who's your guess?
It's going to be one of them is going to be Justin Thomas for sure.
Yeah, it'd be a comfortable pairing for him for sure. That's his buddy down there in Jupiter.
Yep. So I feel like the golf gods are going to give us a little Tiger JT pairing. I mean, whoever he's going to be paired with is going to be two great players because it's going to be in a featured group. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Homa was one of them. You know, we all know how much he adores Tiger. But yeah, I would imagine he's going to be having a little home cooking with JT there.
Be a fun pairing for everybody. Recent winners here, as mentioned, Joaquin Niemann, 19 under last year. Max Homa at minus 12 in a playoff over Tony Finau in 2021. Adam Scott, multiple time winner, did it at 11 under in 2020. JB Holmes, of all people, minus 14 in 2019. And Bubba Watson in his third and final title here in 2018 at minus 12. Interestingly, and something that I wouldn't have guessed, I mean, I've known this now for a couple of years, writing this stat and doing this show, but again, to the casual golf fan, this may come as a surprise, certainly since Tiger hosts the tournament now, but neither Tiger nor Jack have won the Genesis at Riviera. Both have been second, but never a victory. What's anything to that?
I think that's an anomaly. I mean, Tiger never won in Phoenix, right? I don't think he won the Waste Management.
I think you're correct.
So, I mean, you know, maybe a little bit of a chink in the armor there, but I don't know. How many times did he play it? You know, when it was back then, you know, it wasn't necessarily his tournament. So, was he playing it every year? Who knows?
He's definitely played it a bunch, but agreed, you know, totally different dynamic back then, different player. Tiger wasn't hosting the tournament. Actually, you know, I say that he's played it a bunch. I mean, in the last 10 years or so, he's played it three times.
You know, in the 2000s and the late 90s when he was really humming, you know.
Yep.
How many was this a regular stop on his schedule?
I think he's got a good bit of course history, maybe not recent course history, but I think it's a tournament he's always wanted to win.
Okay. Well, little incentive. Ty, don't call it a comeback.
At 100 to 1, I ain't.
Nope. I can't do that.
One more interesting tidbit before we break down some course vitals. Adam Scott has an unofficial win here in 2005. First time I've ever seen this on the PGA Tour, read about it. The tournament in 05 was shortened to 36 holes because of rain. Adam Scott defeated Chad Campbell on the first playoff hole Monday in sudden death. But because it was only 36 holes, it is technically classified as an unofficial win. Does not count for his official PGA Tour wins.
Did he collect the paycheck?
Yeah. Hell yeah, he collected the paycheck.
Well, that's a win, baby.
That's a win for the bank account.
Yeah.
All right, Shalikow, you want to hit us with some course vitals at the Riv?
Yeah, George C. Thomas, original architect, Crenshaw and Core redesigned, and then also Fazio, most recently redesigned in 2008. Par 71, 7,322 yards, only three par fives on this, and it's going to be one of the stats to consider later if I can maybe tease that. We've got POA greens again this week. They're large again, just like last week in Phoenix. 7,500 square feet. We've got the runoffs trimmed, deep bunkers guarding them. It is a tough course. Some of the deepest and toughest bunkers on tour out there. Ball striker's delight again. Length certainly helps, but this course isn't going to be run over with your bomb and gouge strategy. Your approach play is really, in your second shot, is really going to be crucial here. So you're going to want to be set up well off the tee, and bobbing and gouging doesn't really account for that too much. Ty, what kind of rough do we have this week?
Kikuya.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Not too penal, only going to be grown out to about 2 inches, but it's really unpredictable. You get those hoppers, get those flyers coming out of it. So if you're wayward off the tee, you really got to be careful coming out of this rough, especially since there's a lot of trees out there. You're going to have to, you're really going to have to play position off the tee. It's going to make you, you think, and position golf is definitely the key to getting around this course. Undulating, boy, oh boy, this course is up and down, all over the place. Even if you're in the middle of the fairway, you can get yourself on a little bit of trouble. So, it's really a true test of golf all the way tee to green.
Yeah, it sure is. It's one of the classic, as mentioned, kind of old-timey classical golf courses. True test of golf, very different test from what we've seen the past few weeks on tour, last week in Phoenix, and then before that in California again. Tree-lined, lots of dog legs, as you mentioned, lots of undulation, both in the fairways and on those big greens. And then certainly not a course that can be overpowered off the tee, as you mentioned. Does help to be long, but certainly not a course that can be just dominated with brute force. Last stop on the West Coast swing, we head to PGA National and the Honda Classic to begin the Florida swing next week. Lots of right-handed faders of the ball here. Tony Finau and the lefties, Bubba, Phil, Mike Weir, all multi-time winners, have seen a bunch of success. So obviously a course that favors players who can move the ball left to right in the air. And then, as you mentioned, Shallow Cal, one of my favorite weeks of the year, if for no other reason than we get to say Kikuya grass. Kikuya grass. And I know that's going to get very, very old very quickly on TV when that's all we hear from the announcers. But on a Monday on the podcast, I'm going to have some fun with it. This is a Southern Hemisphere grass. It has roots quite literally in East Africa. What you're going to see a lot of times is that Australians, South Africans in particular, very, very comfortable playing on it because a bunch of the courses that they grew up with at home featured Kikuya. A quarter of the winners here since 1999 at the RIV are either South African or Australian. So definitely, definitely some strong correlation there. You ever played on Kikuyu grass, shallow cow, that you know of?
That I know of? No. Unfortunately, I am not lucky enough to ever have played at the RIV or too much down south. You know, probably some of the most exotic and southern courses I've played, Florida and Hawaii. I've never played in Australia. Yeah, I would say probably that's a no.
Yeah, I know of. I've played on it one time. May have hit it a few other times when I was younger and wasn't really paying that close attention, but did play at a course outside of Atlanta on some Kikuyu. It is spongy turf for sure. Definitely can stop the ball in its tracks. Bump and runs are going to be very challenging on Kikuyu. You really have to land the ball on the greens if you're going to have any kind of run out, because it's going to get all kinds of caught up if you're trying to bounce it short.
Yeah.
In terms of being in that rough, you know, we did get a little bit of a preview a couple weeks ago at Torrey Pines. Both courses do have Kikuyu. Torrey and the RIV, of course, are the two on the PGA Tour. It's a dense grass, so you can get some flyer lies. I think you mentioned that, shallow cow. The buff, the ball does tend to sit up some in the rough. If it does burrow down, it's going to be tough to hack it out. As mentioned, Kikuyu is that very grabby grass. You're going to see players really having to grip down almost to the metal to be able to hack at it, not advance it very far from that rough if it burrows down. Again, a lot of times you're going to get a pretty decent lie in the rough in Kikuyu, and particularly here at the RIV where the rough is not overly penal. But you keep it in the fairway, you're typically rewarded with pretty good lies. Going to sit up nicely again on those Kikuyu fairways, get a lot of spin on the ball. Interestingly, this grass surface tends to favor players with a shallower attack angle. Pickers who don't take big divots, guys like Dustin Johnson, Adam Scott, had a lot of success here, really seem to thrive on Kikuyu. Those guys who have kind of that that steeper angle can have trouble taking all that turf, like a Brooks Koepka previously. So there's my agronomy 101 on Kikuyu grass. Anything else you got to throw in the mix there?
No. I am kind of bummed that we don't get to see Joaquin Niemann this year defend his title, because that was pretty cool display to watch. 63-63 to open up. I don't think we'll see that again from somebody. So hopefully we'll see some good G this week. It'll be closer than last year, but it is a bummer that Waco's not around to defend the title.
It is a bummer. There's a couple guys that you really miss on tour, him certainly being one of them. And I'm worried that we're going to be saying the same thing here in a couple weeks about his buddy Mito.
Is Mito week? Is it Mito week yet? Did I miss it?
Well, better hurry up and be Mito week, or it may never be Mito week on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
You look at any comp courses for the RIV?
Quail Hollow.
Yeah, strong one.
That was really the big comp course. I like to look at this course history, much like TPC Scottsdale, and yeah, you know, do a little bit of comp course history at like TPC Summerlin for last week as well. But I think this course is pretty unique, and one of the toughest on tours. So I like to look at this specific course history.
Okay. Yep. I'm with you right there. A lot of experience needed around the RIV. But if we are looking at other courses that comp pretty well to Riviera, at least, you know, a correlation, Quail Hollow, because of the overlap and winners. Wells Fargo plus the 2017 PGA Championship. Max Homa and J.B. Holmes both have won at Quail Hollow and the RIV. Rory's won three times at Quail Hollow. He's got three top tens and six tries at the RIV. Joel Damon, runner-up at Quail Hollow, top five at Riviera. And it's easy to see why, right? Both those tight tree line classic tests of golf, guys who go well on one tend to find a lot of similar form on the other. And you couple that with some of the guys who have some experience around RIV specifically. And I think you start to see kind of a nice picture form up there if they've also gone well at Quail Hollow. All right, hit us with your stats to consider, Shallow Cal.
Big greens, but I think they're pretty deceptively hard to hit. So I'm going to go with strokes gained approach as my number one category. Strokes gained around the green and scrambling. It will be number two for me. I like strokes gained off the tee here. You really got to set yourself up well. Too wayward. You get into those trees. You're hitting a lot of balls out of the kukuya. Not setting up for success here. And then par five scoring, especially with the easiest par five on tour here, you're really going to need to take advantage of your opportunities on the par fives. Everybody except for JB Holmes did all of their scoring on the par fives when they went on to victory here.
Yep, got to make hay on the par fives, no doubt about it. I'm with you on everything you said. I'm prioritizing strokes gained around the green this week. Don't hit a lot of fairways here at Riviera, some of the lowest fairways hit percentage on tour, which kind of inherently means that guys aren't hitting just a ton of greens. Now, certainly a key to going well is as many GIRs as you can get after, but what that means is you got to have a great short game. You better be on point around those greens, on those greens once you get there. So I'm looking at guys who really have some soft hands, particularly on the sticky, grabby kukuya. You want players who are very adept around the greens. Model weighting for me this week, 15% each strokes gained off the tee and approach. I'll go 10% on greens and regulation, ball striking, short game, tee to green, par five scoring, and the all-important proximity range of 150 to 175 yards here. And then for good measure, we'll go 5% each on three-putt avoidance and par fours, 450 to 500 yards. Weather. Gonna have a little chill in the air this week, Shallow Cal.
Oh yeah,
we will. We're not. We actually are not gonna break mid-60s for the highs, if you can believe it. In LA,
little chilly in LA this week. Break out the sweatpants, baby.
Dude, gonna be in the low 40s for those early tee times Thursday, Friday. Ugh. I'm a little surprised, honestly, that this is the tournament that Tiger picks to come back for. Again, you know, makes all the sense in the world that he is the host of the tournament and certainly wants to play and live up to all those duties, you know, rightly well he should. But this is going to be tough, particularly if he get, you know, when he has that early morning tee time, if the back is not all the way loosened up, that leads to overcompensation in other areas and you start to worry about the hip, the knee. Interested to see how Tiger deals with the weather.
I hope he did. I'm not going to bet on him, but I want him to go so well. Like, I just want him to play well. I would love to see it. It'd just be so good for golf.
Yeah, it sure would.
And for my heart. I don't even care about all you mother effers out there. I want to watch. That's what I want to see. I want to see Tiger go well.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to give it a go. That's for sure. Shouldn't have to deal with any wind, really. Not going to be a factor this week. Aside from some clouds on Friday, it really should be pretty sunny the rest of the weekend. So it will warm up as we get further into the afternoon, get out of some of those chillier morning temperatures. Pacific Palisades, California is the location on Weather Underground if you're interested in looking at the detailed forecast. All right, Shallow Cal, that means we have come to the last section of our show, which is where we make our picks each and every week. No first-round leader plays for you this week, correct?
No.
All right, so that means we're just on some outrights.
Yep.
I'm only on four names this week so far. I've had a hard time getting to that fifth name. I do very likely intend to add a fifth name here in the next 24 hours or so, very potentially someone near the top of the odds board. But four selections for me this week. You've got five. We overlap on two of them, and we both start our cards a bit further down the odds board than normal. So why don't you kick us off both on Matt Fitzpatrick this week, 40-1?
Yeah, I like Fitz on tough courses. I think that this course he can do well at. He's got a top five here. So he's got a little bit of good course history. He's made the cut every time he's played, never missed a cut. So good short game player, creative around the green. If you guys remember that that U.S. Open that he won last year, he can get it done on a tough track. He can win against a good field. And that was really what caught my eye when everything came out numbers wise. And I saw him at 40-1. That to me screamed value. And so I hopped on that.
Yeah, I'm with you. 1 point each way on Fitzy, 40-1. I love this range on the odds board. I could have very easily put together a full card of five to six golfers, all within the 40-50-1 odds range. I think there are some really good golfers for this course in that range, and I think it starts with Fitzy. As we've said multiple times, this is a very straightforward test of golf. There's not a lot to trick you out here at Riviera. No water on the course, and so this is about finding fairways, playing well through your bag, being able to get up and down if you miss these greens, and finding a hot putter. And I think that is pretty much Matt Fitzpatrick to a T when he's firing on all cylinders. You mentioned he's won the U.S. Open. He's also won at Valderrama, another tough track where you got to kind of grind it out. Really seems to just set up nicely for his game as a whole. He gained five strokes last week around the green in Phoenix. His irons have been misfiring a bit lately, but the short game has been really, really good. And as I was mentioning kind of in my stats to consider, Riv is a place where the average professional doesn't hit a lot of fairways anyways. And so if you're not going to be hitting those greens, if the irons are, you know, a little bit off, or you're coming from some difficult angles, some difficult looks wayward of the fairway, then you got to be good getting up and down and scrambling. And Fitzy, with that cross-handed chipping style that he's gone to, is just really good around the greens. We know that he can putt about as well as anybody when he's firing. So I just like how his game sets up as a whole for Riviera.
Couldn't agree more.
All right. Why don't you give us your other 40-1? I've got another 40-1 as well, and then we'll double back up, see if we can get a team winner on number two.
Oh, man. I feel like I'm just burning through my Tom Kim winnings, betting again on Tom Kim. I just can't quit the guy, man. The strokes gained approach is really... this is really, really great for him. He didn't have a solid go of it last week. I think this is more a classic Tom Kim type of setup that he can go well at. You know, with his iron play, good off the tee with good drives gained. He's going to hit great approach shots. Man, please just bring that putter in. If he can putt like he was putting at the end of last year when he was winning tournaments, sky's the limit for this kid. So hopefully he brings it this week. Tom Kim, 40-1.
Speaking of golfers that I've wasted all of my outright winnings continuing to bet on, Cam Davis definitely had all of that 150-1 two summers ago was completely gone, wasted on Cam Davis over and over again. So I feel you there on Tom.
Is he on your card this week? Did he make it?
He did not make the card this week. He is under consideration on the short list for the fifth and final spot. I'm going one of two ways with that fifth spot. I'm either going very long in the middle 150s or so, or I'm going straight to the top of the odds boards for one of the five or six favorites. That's
where I'm so divided. Harris English, 250-1, baby.
I could not believe that number when you texted me. Honestly, I didn't make it that far down the odds board to even know that Harris was in this field at those odds.
I was like looking through and I was like, holy shit. Harris English, 250-1. Wow. Weren't you just in the Ryder Cup, man?
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
All right. Another 40-1 bet for me. 1 point each way on Will Zalatoris. I said a couple weeks ago on the podcast that I had waited all year to bet Will Zalatoris at Torrey Pines. Well, waited all year for a missed cut with that effort. Was good before that. He was T11 at Century Tournament of Champions to start the year, coming off an injury. He chased that with a T36 at Amex. Skipped Phoenix last week, so I guess that's his one this year of the elevated events that he chose to miss. But I like the fact that he's doing that in advance of Riviera, and seems like he's really homing in on this tournament, making sure the back is rested. It's a place that he's been around a few times, even as a young professional. Similar to Augusta, this is a place where experience pays, as you mentioned, because you got to know where to miss on these large greens. He started twice as a pro, 15th and 26th here both times. So not only has he got a little bit under his belt, but he's performed pretty well here. Won the Collegiate Showcase at Riviera while at Wake Forest. That's going to be a big storyline this week on Will Zalatoris. Certainly a very convenient narrative if you are choosing to bet him. Looking at his miscut at Torrey, his trademark irons just nowhere to be found. He lost 1.6 strokes to the field on approach, which is just a crazy number on Zalatoris. Also lost 2.6 strokes tee to green that week, which again is just simply not like him. But encouragingly, he actually gained nearly a stroke and a half putting at Torrey Pines on those POA greens. So I'm going to choose to take that out of that really what was a very poor performance overall for him. Best on his – he so, definitely – say that again?
He's so bad at putting. Dude, he's like,
out there. Yeah, but I'm telling you, I mean, gaining strokes at Farmers, he's actually, so he has gained strokes putting on average for his last 20 tournaments.
Oh, what's up, Keegan Bradley?
Right? I mean, you got to go all the way back to the Rocket Mortgage Classic last July to find the last time that he didn't gain strokes with the putter. Now, granted, he was off a big chunk of that time as well, basically, well, was off the entire fall with the injury, but still.
I think the big thing with him is that injury. Like, where is he at? How's he doing? Is he good to go? Is he firing? Because if he's firing, man, he can play with the best of them.
And he's at his best on tough courses. Second at Torrey Pines a year ago after losing to Luke List in that playoff. His lone win on tour came at a difficult track, TPC Southwind. This is the kind of course where I want Willie Z, where you don't have to make every single 10 to 15 footer to compete and go low like Phoenix last week. He can grind it out. He can, you know, miss a bunch of those and knock in the short ones and still be just fine. 40 was just too big of a number for me to pass on. I do believe those numbers are all gone now. There may be one more 40 hanging out there on him, but that was dropping pretty quickly. Got to have the irons be dialed, but if we can consider Farmers an anomaly, then I feel pretty good about Willie Z coming back this week, assuming health, as you mentioned. All right, Shallow Cow, we are trying for team win number two on the card this week with Hideki Matsuyama, 45-1. How come?
Good history here. You know, one of the things that I had said, for the comp course part, you know, I really look at this history here, got a couple of, top fives here. So I really like his game. Another player who likes these, and has won a tournament on a tough track with undulating fairways, and tough around the green runoffs, you know, need to have a creative short game in the Masters at Augusta. 45-1 for Hideki. Did you ever think he would be back this high?
I mean, we're starting to get in that territory where people are forgetting about Hideki and actually more than likely overlooking Hideki in the 40s, 45s, and that's exactly where I want to pounce on Hideki.
Yeah, listen, I think he's got all the tools to win here, for sure.
I do too, and that's what I'm leaning into, the long term form of who the player is, the experience here. Because listen, you got to be willing to take a bit of a leap of faith on Hideki this week, because it's been a big spag in 2022, 2023, no doubt about it. He was T29 in Phoenix last week, started really poorly with that 3-over-74 on Thursday, rallied, and we saw the really good Hideki for a couple rounds in the 60s Friday and Saturday before kind of just your ho-hum 1-under-70 on Sunday. But before that, T9 at the Farmers, good Hideki. Before that, T48 at Sony Open, bad Hideki. so it's bad Hideki. So it's been very inconsistent. There's not a lot to lean on in terms of current form with Hideki. But again, if we're looking at long-term, who this player is, really, really good on difficult courses, really good with his irons. Really a prodigious driver off the tee when he's firing with that club as well. So everything that should set up well at Riviera does set up well for Hideki. He's got 3 top 10s in 8 tries here. Twice he's been top 5. Last time was in 2020. So certainly got that experience that we're very interested in. Big thing that I'm encouraged about with Hideki's gain is that he has gained strokes putting in 7 of his last 8 tournaments. Irons were definitely a problem in Phoenix, a little bit of a concern. Only major stat he lost on was strokes gained approach. But again, historically, that's been a strength of his game, even when T48 at Sony earlier this year, gaining nearly 5 strokes on approach. So because it's a bit of a guessing game with Hideki, we are kind of dependent on that putter staying hot. But everything that we've seen in recent weeks has shown that it can, and it has been. So I'm in on Hideki, 45-1.
Yeah, you know, when golfers like him tend to have those outliers every now and then, I tend to, like you just said, look at the long-term form. You know, those irons are going to round into shape, and he's not going to lose strokes on approach, you know, too much. So, like him to come back this week and show strong.
Definitely. All right, stay here with you. Your next 45-1.
Oh, man. Well, he doesn't go too well here. Honestly, but this guy has kind of been the I want to say almost the comeback player of the year so far. He has really Jason Day. He has really done well. Like you said, half of the winners here or something about the South African or Australian. Jason Day's Australian. So we got that narrative check right there. He played well last week. He's been really, really kind of rounding in and been close to winning again on tour. So this is more of a narrative play. More so than it is this guy is a killer on a course like this. And I just kind of was looking to add a last final golfer. So, Jason Day, 45-1.
Yeah, bigger number than we've seen in recent weeks on Jason Day. He has been playing well, and you'd expect that in a field like this, at a place where maybe he's had a little bit less success than elsewhere. But there's no denying that his game is rounding back into form and has been for some time now, dating all the way back to really the fall wraparound portion of the season.
Yeah, and he's a stones putter too. So if he can get back to the way that he was putting, watch out.
All right, well, we're gonna stay with you one more time, Shallow Cal, because your card wraps up 66-1 with a golfer that you've been on a couple times here in the new year.
Yeah, second week in a row. We're looking for ball strikers here. We're looking for approach play here. Good drives. Keegan Bradley, man. This guy has really been impressive of late. Didn't quite faltered a little bit last week, but was very impressive with his ball striking. And this guy has finally learned how to putt. We're just looking for him to put together a full 72. And he is definitely going to be in the conversation on Sunday if he does. Keegan Bradley at 66-1 was my longest shot this week. I think it's not going to be too crazy of a long shot. But I think that Keegan is somebody who's not going to be fazed also by the pressure and the difficulty of this course and the pressure on Sunday. So give me Keegan 66-1.
Ball striker all day long.
Ball striker.
All right. Well, that leaves it to my final selection. Congratulations to Wyndham Clark, winner of the 2023 Genesis Invitational. We are on to the Honda Classic, so get those tips ready, Shaka. I cannot believe that I'm betting Wyndham Clark. This guy sucks. Seriously, terrible. But at 100-1, I like what I see.
Oh.
I just can't. This is actually my first time betting Wyndham Clark in 2023. I was on him a bunch at the back end of last year and really throughout 2022. My first time on him this year.
Let me tell you something. I was on him a couple weeks ago, and this guy sucks.
When the odds first posted, FanDuel, DraftKings, PointsBet, BetMGM all opened him 80-1. And I said, no way, I'm out. He was on my longer list of considerations at the end of Sunday night. I wouldn't even call it necessarily on the short list of considerations. When I saw that number, I said, no way. But get back into the triple digits where you belong, Wyndham Clark. And I'm interested. I'm interested for a punt. Good show last week, got in contention at Phoenix with a big eagle on Sunday, faded a little bit with some wayward bogeys, but did finish T10 in a pretty stacked field in the elevated event last week. Got some form at Riv, 17th on debut. He was 8th in 2021 before a disqualification last year, which I believe was signing for the wrong scorecard, if I'm not mistaken.
Which, how does that happen, by the way?
If not intentional, right? Like, it may have even just been one of those where it's like, yeah, I need a reason to get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of pieces for Riv. I hate to say it. He's very good on difficult courses. He gains nearly a half stroke per round on difficult courses compared to easy courses, where he's about 2/10 of a stroke better. He's a prodigious driver of the ball. Absolutely smashes it off the tee.
Boy, can he smash the ball.
I mean, this is a guy who grew up in altitude. He's a Denver kid who played at University of Oregon. And he doesn't need the help off the tee, but he gets it at altitude, and it just flies for him, has his whole life. You don't need to be super accurate off the tee here, which is definitely where he struggles, because everybody's going to be missing with the hardest fairways to hit on tour. In four full seasons on tour, plus this season, Wyndham Clark has only been worse than sixth in driving distance once, and that's when he was 32nd in 2019-2020. Also has got a very good short game, very good around the green. He's fourth in this field, strokes gained around the green the last 24 rounds. Three times in his career, he's been inside the top 35 for a season, so there is a little bit of form there. Putter is streaky. It's definitely been good as much as it's been bad. His ranks in strokes gained putting, 97th this year, 7th in 2022. 119th in 2021, 16th in 2020, 8th in 2019. So definitely feast or famine, but about as much good as there is bad there. So when you kind of put that whole package managed together. I'm just interested what I see with Wyndham Clark, from the big driver off the tee to being a great putter, great around the greens. Biggest concern with him, both for Riviera and just in general, has always been his irons. But what if I told you, Shallow Cal, what if I told you that Wyndham Clark has had his best two strokes gained approach performances of his career the last 2 weeks? Is that something you might be interested in?
I thought you were going to say at Riviera, his last two appearances at Riviera.
Strokes gained approach performances of his career the last 2 weeks.
I mean, can he putt?
Well, depends on the year.
So, I mean, yeah, man, this, like you said, he's got all the distance in the world. If he can put it together for 72, man, I hate this guy because I want him to be good and I want to bet him, but he fucking sucks, man.
What if I told you that overall he's gained strokes on approach in 5 of his last 6 appearances on tour? Is that something you might be interested in?
Oh, my God. Are you going to make me bet Wyndham Clark now?
I mean, I hate myself for doing this. I hate myself for it. But it all adds up. It all makes sense. And at triple digits, which are still available as of Monday night, why not Wyndham Clark?
Oh, man. How about first-round leader Wyndham Clark? That sounds more enjoyable to me.
There you go. That's a nice angle in.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
Cards are fluid. As mentioned, I'm very likely going to add a fifth name at some point, either at the very back end of the odds boards or potentially at the very top. Not much that I'm looking at in between at this stage of the game. But that's going to do it this week for us. As a reminder, you can find all our tips and picks each week, including any late first round leader plays on Wyndham Clark from Shallow Cal, on Twitter at Playing Tips Pod. Shallow Cal, best of luck at the Riv, my friend.
To you as well. Cheers.